Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. The saga continues on the Eugene eviction rent strike. Went to Candace's trial, and then you can't record the trial, of course, but I'll tell you a little bit about what my impressions were as a witness to the trial. And, well, not as a witness, but as an audience member of the trial. Sorry. But, so I got reactions from Candace and unnamed people afterwards. So, and like I say, the saga is continuing. At the time of this recording, the R&R Properties has come with pods to move people out, and the pods have been turned away, so they're waiting for the sheriff right now. But they have they've made it into kind of a festival, rent strike festival there. So you'll hear the comments about that. But first, I have a couple things to say, and then I have some music that sort of goes with what we're talking about. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. All right, so just a couple of things before I get into a little short commentary on the rent strike trial. The reason I got into sustainability, and this is going to relate to this. Don't worry, I'm going to come back around. The reason I got into sustainability, I woke up one day and there was just no good food around. There was only just corporate food, McDonald's, and this was in the San Fernando Valley, where I grew up. There just was, and this lasted, you know, a year or two, because everything just was corporate. So that, and after reading Francis Moore LePay and others, you realize that still to this day, our food supply is controlled by Archer Daniels Midland. 42% of your food supply is handled by one corporation, which means it's all handled. If you handle 42% of a market, you handle the entire market. So what's going to happen if they suddenly decide, like Soylent Green, to turn things into Soylent Green? So, and this was the era, you know, we were all watching Soylent Green. So, I would rather be dependent. I don't think I want to be dependent on a corporation for my food supply. I'd rather be dependent with the farmer down the street. In fact, there was when I grew up on Van Nuys and Ventura, there was an actual farm on Van Nuys and Ventura into the 70s, almost into the 80s. There was literally a small farm right there on Van Nuys and Ventura. So that's where I'm coming from with this show is corporations. I'd rather depend on nature than corporations, and this is why there's a point at which these are the commons that all of us have rights to, and one of those commons is housing. So that's what we're talking about here. All right. So my impressions of the trial. So what I've been telling everybody is why, if the sheriff comes to your house and evicts you. Why is this a civil trial and you are not appointed a lawyer? Because obviously, and I don't want to go, I may get in trouble for going into too many details of the trial, but it was obvious that she needed a lawyer. It was straight out of an episode of Law and Order. She was the wrong person on the episode of Law and Order that tries to represent herself. And, you know, because she mentioned something over here, that means they're able to bring evidence in against it over here. Whereas if she hadn't mentioned it, they wouldn't have been able to bring it in. So several of those went on. There was a friend of the court that had a citation apparently it is not against the law. They were saying that it's not against the law to withhold rent if repairs aren't done. So a friend of the court said, well, there is a citation, at least this was my interpretation, that there is a citation where, yes, you can withhold rent if repairs are not made repeatedly. So, and what her point was the repairs were not made correctly, so she had to keep calling for repairs all the time. And so none of that was let in fairly into evidence, and a person witnessed that the house was in disrepair before this person owned it. And they did not, there was no upkeep. The house was vacant for a long period of time and was not upkept before Candace even owned it, according to this witness. So what I've been telling everybody is why, if the sheriff comes to your house and evicts you. Why is this in a civil trial? We don't have debtor's prison in this country, and if I owe you money, they can repossess your car, and those are an officer of the court, but they cannot pull you out of your car when they arrest you and take your car, A. And if you have it in a locked garage, they can't come in and bust in and take your car, and they can't arrest you. So they may be a deputy of the court, but it's not as the same as the sheriff coming and arresting you for non-payment of rent, or throwing you out on the street where you will become a criminal because you are not because you don't have a house. So ultimately, you're going to either become a criminal or get sick. So something that important, gee, maybe we should have a public defender. And of course, there's a public defender crisis up here in Oregon, as there is across the country, because people. We have rights in this country, and your right is to have a public defender, even if you're in Guantanamo Bay. Okay? Even if you're a terrorist and there's obviously guilty, you still deserve representation. We've found that out from 400 years and whatever, 2,000 years of civilization. We figured that out, that one at least. Okay, so coming up, Candace's reaction to her trial and some music related to the issue. Thanks for listening. Oh, and before that, though, I'm going to read you from the Double-Headed Hydra because what that is about is land and the use of land. And like I was saying, you can't, if you're making it to where no one can live off the land without paying you rent, then that is wage slavery. So there is, and there is another way, and you can't, whether even if you have a perfect system, you cannot make it to where no one can live in nature that was already here before you came up with this system. Okay? So that's the double-headed hydra, turned on to me by a lecture I've played before on the origins of oppression. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Okay, this is from
So this is from
the
the
Many-Headed
Double-Headed
Hydra
Hydra by
by Linebaugh and Redeker
Sea Venture. On July
about
5th, 1609, the sailors of the Sea
so this is
Venture
a chapter
scanned the
one
horizon and spotted Bay
called The Wreck of the Sea
separated from their
Venture.
convoy.
Okay, skipping down
Eight other
to
vessels setting from Plymouth
they hit a storm off of
Bermuda
Bermuda
sailed
and the
into the
ship was
colony
wrecked and
spied
the
its
tiny ship
host
was
a
tossed,
prolific
and
pirate
if not for the
Indians called
courage of the
a
fearless
hurricane
crew,
sailing
the Sea
swiftly toward
Venture would have
them
been
with
lost.
cloud gathering thick
So
fogs.
that's what happened, and so this is
The wind
after all
singing
that
and
when they've
whistling
wrecked,
most
okay?
unusually
The Sea
rotational
Venture was
and
wrecked,
stretchy.
miraculously without loss of life, between two great
A
rocks in the
dreadful
island of
storm
Bermuda on
previously
July
began
28th.
to blow
This
from
is
the
in
northeast,
1609.
which swelling and roaring as
The
it moved by
150 wet
fits
and
and hours
terrified crew and
bore
passengers,
violence and
men,
oaths,
women, and women originally
there
intended
all
by the
night
Virginia Company
through
of
heaven
London as
is like
reinforcements for
hell
the
and
company's new
darkness turned
plantation,
blackness so much
straggled
before
onto a
horror
strange
and
shore, a
fear
place long
ensued,
considered by
to
sailors
overrun
to
the
be an
troubled and
enchanted
overwhelmed
isle of
master's
devils
senses of awe,
infested
which
with
did not
demons and
abate
monsters, and a ghoulish
until
graveyard
those so
for
sensible to
European
these
ships.
terrible
Now, these are
cries
white
and
people
murmurs
coming
of
from
victims,
Europe.
the
These are
destruction of
colonists
company
coming
as
from Europe
was the
in
most
1609.
honored and best prepared was not a little
Chartered
shaken.
in 1511, but
The butchered
shunned by
fury
seafarers for a
startled the
century
ship
afterward,
below decks,
Bermuda was known
and
mostly
the
through the
braves
accounts of a few
of the
mariners,
most hardy
renegades, and
mariner of them
castaways,
all,
such as
the less hardy
Job
passengers aboard
Hortop,
the 98-foot
who had escaped
schooner
galley
turned
slave
to the
slavery in the
pier.
Spanish West
Their
Indies,
wounds were
passed
drowned
by
in
the
the
island and
sinks
made it
in the
to
jungle.
London to tell his tale.
Reconsider
Sylvester
recovered their
Jourdain, a
boat,
passenger
as
on the
ships
Sea
drifted
Venture,
via
would
the
later
calm,
write
six to
that
eight men
Bermuda
with little
afforded
serving to steer the vessel.
nothing but gusts,
Under steam
storms, and
generally prevailed,
foul weather,
sails
which made
consisted
every
of six
navigator
men,
and mariner to
one ship
avoid
with
them
its
as
little
Scylla
ship
and
load,
Charybdis,
reduced to
or
this capsizing
they would
crushed by
shun the
hands
devil
scattered
himself.
along the ribs of the
The
ship's
eeriness of the
sinking
place
ensuing
owed much to the harsh, hollow howling of
as many
nocturnal
as they could
birds
use their
called
beef
cayhows,
oakum,
whose shrieks
barley,
haunted the
oil,
crews
especially
of
when the ship
passing
rises
ships.
several feet above
The
the
reality of
horizon,
Bermuda, as the shipwrecked
the whole
soon
crew
discovered,
passed
was
their
entirely
ships
different from its reputation.
Hunt
The island, in their
continuously
view,
in
turned out
June
to be an
9th,
Edenic land of perpetual
perpetual
spring
horror,
and
exhaust,
abundant food,
naked as men
quote, the
gallows,
richest,
even
healthfulest,
filled
and
with their
pleasantest
wounds,
place they ever saw.
returns pumping while
The
those
would-be
who did
colonists
not
feasted on
were
black
daily
hogs that had
meals and
swum
pipes,
ashore and
and those who
multiplied
lived
after a
and
Spanish
the rest
shipwreck
as
years
they
earlier
pumped
on
and spent
fish,
thousand tons of
grouper,
water,
parrotfish,
vessel,
red snapper,
was not
that could be
enough for
caught
one
by
life on
hand or
sea,
with a
and the
stick
people
with a
of that
bent nail,
place had reached
on
a level
fowl
of
that would
civilization
land on a
where
man's
mariners
or
could
woman's
live in
arms
peace.
or shoulders, on massive
Now
tortoises
that
that would feed
the
50,
exhausted sailors
and
had
on an
no
array
more
of
hope
delicious
of it made
fruit,
possible to
much of
visit
the
Cape
much
Horn with their
to the
flocks,
chagrin
the pain they
of the officers of the Virginia Company, Bermuda caused many of them veterally to forget or desire e'er to return from thence. They lied in such plenty, peace, and ease. They lived in such plenty, peace, and ease. It's in Old English, sorry. Once the common people found the land of plenty, they began to settle a foundation of ever inhabiting there. Theirs was a more joyful and happy meeting in a more blessed world, after all. It's not surprising that the shipwrecked commoners responded as they did, for they had been told to expect paradise at the end of their journey in this Ode to the Virginian Voyage. Michael Drayton, who insisted that Virginia was Earth's only paradise where nature hath in store foul venison and fish and the fruitful soil without your toil.
I don't like
three harvests more, all
job.
Greater than you wish. In 1610, Robert Rich conveniently confused the Bermuda and Virginia experiences in his poetic propaganda for the Virginia Company. There is no fear of hunger there. For corn, which ever grows, much fish, the gallant rivers yield. 'Tis truth without suppose. He concluded that in Virginia there is indeed no want at all. Another Virginia Company advocate knew that such reports were false, that some in England had dismissed them as utopian, but he nevertheless maintained the lie, promising prospective laborers a six-hour workday in which the sap of their bodies would not be spent for other men's profit. Many colonists had headed toward Virginia on the Sea Venture and other vessels with the heat and zeal of a Romaine year of jubilee. The biblical jubilee, Leviticus, authorized the call for an end to bondage and the return of the commons to the dispossessed. Bermuda seemed to be the perfect place to enact this biblical prophecy. Strachey, a shareholder and secretary of the Virginia Company, noted that among the shipwrecked there quickly arose dangerous and secret discontents that began among the sailors and spread to others. Disunion of hearts and minds soon followed. Those who wanted to go on with the money-making adventure in Virginia were at odds with those whose hands were supposed to get them there. The chief complaint of the seamen and other hands was that in Virginia nothing but wretchedness and labor must be expected, with many wants and a churlish entity, there being neither that fish, flesh, nor fowl, which here at ease and pleasure might be enjoyed. All right, so that's from The Many-Headed Hydra by Linebacker and Rimbaud. And so what they're saying is basically the colonists, you know, you just drop them off and expect them to grow corn for you to export back to England. And they just said, to heck with that. We're just going native. What do I need to do that for? I might as well just go live with the natives and live in paradise. So I'm not saying we can go all the way back to that, but we've come way, way too far away from that. So, yeah, the world actually is a Garden of Eden if all the resources weren't controlled by a small psychopathic few. All right, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio. Coming up, I talked to Candace after her trial and on her being evicted, and we're waiting at the time of this recording, we're waiting for the sheriff to come to evict her from her property. So she's trying to take a stand and set precedent for evicting people. You have to go through a little bit more and get some public defender representation if you're going to throw people out on the street when you own all the property. That is slavery, when you charge rent and you own all the property and there's no alternative. That's modern wage slavery. Okay, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Coming up, rent strike.
I changed lanes and I was like, hey, turn your brakes off! I didn't know they were a cop.
But you said there's a police relationship to the trial.
I'm College Grove, Charlie Hansen's son is a police officer.
And Charlie Hansen is who?
The property manager. The lady.
All right, and so this...
any mold complaints, but then he's like, I probably provided you the paint. Bitch, why would you do that if I didn't complain about mold?
There was a whole issue about the emails back and forth that your husband had given them.
Yeah.
And what is this program? Is that easy to use, this program that you're communicating with?
I don't have access to it anymore. It is easy. And everything I said in there was pretty nice. When I let her know, you know, I was with no maintenance issues. I don't like their maintenance coming in and doing a job.
I think it was very clear from the testimony given that they're up to slumlord and that they're barely, that this whole situation is garbage.
The bare minimum standard of the Eugene Code is how, what they uphold my house
well,
to.
But see,
well, my family doesn't deserve bare minimum. I don't pay them bare minimum rent.
They kept saying that they're going to address the issue. They need to resolve the issue.
Addressing it. They band-aid it.
Right. So did they, but they did they resolve the issue?
The thing about the Eugene City Housing Code and the Rental Housing Code is that there's no real provision for mold. Unless your walls are spongy and falling down, they don't call it, consider it a habitability issue, because what I've been told specifically by Randy at the Eugene Housing Code office years ago, if we had a mold provision, there would be no housing. And I was like, well, that's true, but don't you think you all could have built some better houses? Like, passive airflow. This is the thing. Like, I have a minor in place-based design and environmental science. So, like, when I can look at this house, I see all of the potential of it. And when I look at how big this yard is.
Oh, yeah, the permaculture.
There's two working families that could live back there. We could build two more houses back there, and Sharon didn't want to do this. There were spiders back there when I moved in here. Everywhere. Hobo spiders. It was freaky. And within a year, we had grass, we had a fire pit, we had people coming over from next door, we had a hole in the fence. We had community events over here. Ash has hosted a couple community events over here, and we did have it really beautiful there for a while. And then I let a bunch of hobos hang out this winter. Because, you know, they were in danger, and it was wet and cold.
Well, but you said you let people store their stuff here in tents.
Yeah.
So they didn't, did they see someone living here? Or
they
not?
Saw my brother Josh sleeping under a cherry tree. With no tents around him, just some tarps. I call it our little oasis.
Right, but that's not illegal to have.
In the middle of the day, that doesn't prove overnight camping.
Right.
Also, the legal framework doesn't matter. Candace is doing the right thing. We're in the middle of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, as far as like wages versus versus rent, and, like, literally worse than the Great Depression right now.
The worst hobo I took it over the winter was gonna die.
So, like, you think about how all these people
he was gonna die.
Talk about their grandpas and how they lived through the Great Depression and how they lift all this stuff up and like how they took care of each other, but they're not realizing that that's what's happening right now. Like, that's what's happening right now. That's what Candace is doing right now.
Being a good citizen.
It's being a good person.
You know, a human.
Being a good person and like realizing
citizenship.
The fact they're like the homelessness crisis, the rental crisis is so massively bad right now. So many people cannot pay rent. So Candace is helping people. Candace is providing space at her own expense, possibly.
Definitely.
Candace is like...
definitely. Yeah.
You know?
$400 like, electric bills.
Candace has tried to create stability and is being blocked by a lady who doesn't need this space, doesn't care about this space. Doesn't even lives in California. She's an absentee slumlord. And she wants to maintain her status as an absentee slumlord when Candace is trying to make a life for her family. You know?
She wants to live off the fruits of my labor, dude. And I'm
sorry. Like, why is Candace,
but I am tired of propping up white people.
Why is Candace?
I'm tired of it, dude. How many
her?
Generations of my family have to do that before they say enough is enough?
Right. Like, this
I'm saying enough is enough.
This
yeah, basta.
Yeah. The legal system is immoral and unethical.
And I ain't got no reparations yet to this day. Where the fuck is my 40 acres and a mule? My family's land was stolen twice. This bitch.
Oh, what,
I'm stealing her land.
Juneteenth
land
wasn't enough?
Huh?
We asked the government to stop shooting black people in the street, and we got Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Okay, so like that's like the level of disconnect that we're dealing with right now.
Right, and the entire world had to demonstrate
well,
to get that.
And then they say that Lincoln is the one who freed the slaves. Right. I'll beg to differ, Maga. Enslaved people free themselves.
Well. So you just mentioned something
ourselves.
That they wouldn't let you use that how wealthy she is. They would not let you enter that as evidence of how wealthy
well,
she is.
Well, I don't give a fuck if she has no money. That's her fault. If she was born into a wealthy family that had multiple properties up and down I-5 region. They had a historic property in Portland that is still a historic building.
So she can afford to maintain her properties. Is why
she
that was
gets
important
rent.
To the case.
She paid $0 for this house. $0 for that house. $0 for that house. $0 for the two in South Eugene on 25th Avenue.
Candace has a higher claim as far as how much money has gone into this property than she
I've paid more money than she has.
Just because, like, we don't
even
know
even with Section A banning.
There's some degree whenever some white person owns a whole lot of land that there's like, how did we get this land?
They just pick a house and live in it and then
like, it's just so it's just absolutely garbage.
I love that meme yesterday. It's like, no seconds for anybody till everybody's been served, except with housing. That was like so perfect. I was like, yeah, dog.
Well, and do you guys see it, discern a difference between corporate ownership, though, of housing and individual ownership?
I think these house orders are a problem. I think they're a big part of the problem.
The root of it is property as ownership is a problem because, right. Like, housing should not be a commodity.
It should not be a commodity. It's a
right.
resource.
You know? So, like,
it's like water. It's like air. It's like food.
Right, exactly. Like, they're going to start charging us for air.
Like, oh, they already have cameras.
Because they're charging us for water now.
Mm-hmm. What? Can I have that shit?
Well, full disclosure, I own a piece of property over here. But if I had, and I did bought into the retirement thing where you would rent it out to pay for your retirement. So, but if I had, if I had.
You're talking about home
share? I am going to get with home share and try and get a tenant in there. What I'm saying is, though, let me finish. What I'm saying is that the. If I had a pension, if we had a different system where I had a pension, I would not need to do that.
Well, there's also...
So I bought into something.
How do you treat that person? When and how much do you raise rent?
Well, I've owned the piece. I purposely bought it so that I would not have to charge a high amount of rent.
You bought it.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So yeah, Sharon came from a magic evil vagina.
Oh, I worked grocery for years to pay for that property, yeah.
I'd say she's never had a real job. She's a PR executive for oil and gas corporations. That's what she boasts. Read her blog. It's terrible.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. This is what's different.
So even if we're questioning the entire idea of ownership of land and rent,
we should take this away because our kids
we also recognize there are differences in how landlords got their property, how they treat people on it. Like, would you take a... If your tenant was like, you know what, I have some money and I think I'd like to buy the house. Would you talk with them?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you get your money, right?
She's tried that many times.
Yeah, rent to own.
When I offered her $500,000 for this house. This house alone, not the whole lot. The whole lot is worth $600,000 now.
Rent to own used to be a really normal, natural thing. Because it was like, it was just a way to get families to get a leg up. And now that has disappeared just because of greed.
Yeah, and rent to own is also a shifty, shady potential agreement. If you can't obtain it, if anything bad happens, they just take your
investment. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's worse than a mortgage. You're paying much more than you
I don't want a mortgage. I want to have a community land trust, and I want to build 2 more units here for families that need stability for their kids so that we can pull those kids out of the future system because they have a home place. Home place is a concept I learned in Appalachia. Appalachia is where the highest concentration of poor people in America own the land they live on. Right? And I've been told, or like the Kentucky Economics Association like touts this whole idea that, well, poor Appalachia's poor because those people don't leave the holler. Well, Appalachia is rich because those people protect the land. Mm-hmm. And those people's legacy there and their families owning that land, what are they supposed to do? Like, the suggestion was move to the city and get a job. If you have no education and you move to Lexington, Kentucky, you get a job for $8 an hour and you can't even afford an apartment to rent. And you have a home where you're from. Why would you do that? Those people are smarter than Sharon. You know? Because those people are in Lexington paying rent that they can't afford. They're not going to get a tenant in the holler. You know? And yeah, maybe it's like their economic disadvantage, but what advantages do they have? They have the advantage of community. They have the advantage of their family. They have the advantage of being on effectively what is their like indigenous land. Most of the people of Appalachia are indigenous in part. And Scotch Irish. That's like a really good, really interesting story about who those people are and where they come from. But the point is that they have their ancestral lands and they have the stories and the homes. And I don't know, Julie, would you say the family holler is pretty damn dope?
Yeah.
I mean, except that it's full of assholes.
Well.
You know?
People.
Yeah, but some people are cool. And like the thing is, you know, my husband is buried at the family cemetery that just got built for him. I named it, called King's Landing, in the family holler right there where his family is. We built
that. The offense attorney, or whatever you want to call
him. He threw him the best damn funeral anybody could ever have asked for.
He brought up the GoFundMe money, and you had to use that money.
He's a dump. You don't know how to read as a court. We've raised this much so far. Like, we've raised this much so far. We got taxed on it, by the way. And also, like, legitimately, like, $32,000 ain't dropping the bucket in Oregon in 2022.
Yeah, seriously.
Right, what can you get for $32,000?
You can get a funeral and existence for 10 people for a year.
One person to live in, half person.
If you're frugal.
All right, and so you...
and you get food stamps.
You reached a point where you would not let them in for repair.
That was just, like, the last week of school, last week. It was last week. They wanted to basically install a porta potty, tell us we couldn't shower in our house for a week. And during the last week of school, and have them finally come in and do some, I guess, substantial repairs to the bathroom. But I recognize that as one way that landlords have been using to kick people out of their houses. Mm-hmm. Like, the last year I worked at Homes for Good, one of the things I kept seeing was, oh, they want to no-cause people? They got to do substantial repairs to the bathroom, so they're just kicking people out so they can do that to the one bathroom in the unit. Right? Mm-hmm. What if they came in here and dug out and found more problems?
Right.
Then I just got to go? Because of that? Because they're fitty at construction? Because they built the house?
And you're halfway out already.
Right.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not showering here. I'm not pooping here. I'm not in a goddamn porta potty, and neither is Leslie. I don't know what anybody else would do, but I'm sorry. It's not I'm too good. I'm just a germaphobe.
Well, so the repairs are either a palliative covering up or an entire rebuild of the property.
It was a total categorical lie that she never heard about the mold here. I had a maintenance man come here and repaint my entire bathroom one day. I remember because I had to poop really bad. And I went over to my tray to use the outdoor bathroom, but it was locked, so I pooped behind it. I was like, I didn't know I didn't have a key for this. And so, like, that guy came in. He was like, landlord, the property manager sucks. They're cheap. They always do the cheapest things. I'm going to do the best I can by you. He used, like, two cans of their paint, painted over the entire bathroom with Kills after cleaning it. We had been cleaning it with TSP. We still have a box of TSP. Okay. And then next year it came back. And he left us a can.
But you are responsible, under Oregon law, you are responsible for mold and vermin, I know.
And that's not true. I don't know when Oregon LTL changed, but vermin is the responsibility of the landlord. Pests are the responsibility of the tenant.
Pests.
As far as I know.
Pests.
Yeah. Pests.
Pests.
So bugs.
Vermin are a pest. Oh, vermin
are living animals.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so,
rats, which have already been here, because my tray has open composting pits.
And then, so your neighbors...
Yeah. Talk about that when you're ready.
With the rats?
I want to talk about my tray as composting when you're ready.
I'm ready, whenever you're ready.
Just long story short, we have it in such a way where it's not appealing to rats.
Okay.
Like, we put stuff on there once a week.
Oh.
It breaks down pretty fast, and then rats are like, oh, well, it's rotten.
Well, that's better
We're
than it was.
Not just, like, continually adding to it like a salad bar.
Well, it's better than it was, because I remember, like, when I moved here, the Lower Pumpkin had a huge rat problem, and that's what they were blaming it on.
Yeah,
so maybe
I haven't seen any
created a resolution.
Since I've been here for 2 years.
They did do some work on the Lower Pumpkin to make sure that the rat problem was resolved.
Yeah, I haven't seen a rat.
So, I'm trying to wrap it up here. So, and so the blight that she, in her neglect for the property, the blight, she was causing blight here that was lowering the property
value. She was causing depression here.
Of the community. Is that?
No, she didn't cause anything like blight. She just failed to give a fuck about my family, even though I was keeping her alive, basically, in San Mateo, or a part of what's keeping her alive and her hair done.
I'm just looking for reasons why she should maintain the property properly.
Because she should give a shit about the people who pay for her survival.
Like, what are we paying for? What is rent even?
What am I paying for? I'm paying for her to tell me what I can and can't do in my own home. I'm paying for them to tell me that my kid's bike is trash. Like the pictures that they showed us of the rubbish that it's a bike, some art, and that's it. Some building materials, a cooler. There's no actual, like, and there is back there, I promise you. People got out of hand, and I dealt with it the best I can, but also people bring me stuff thinking I want it, and they just leave it here. They're like, here's a gift for you, we love you, blue, blue, blue.
Also, the laws about what they can see from the street for a reason, right? And the thing that was nothing was here. The stuff that might have been a problem cannot be seen from the street, right?
No.
People determined? Yeah.
Somebody complained. We don't know who. I think it was, you know, either the owner of that house or the person who lives next door that doesn't like me. But also, like, I'm gonna buy. Does somebody want to go buy cigarettes? Hey, Slash.
One. All right. So one more. Prudhomme. John. Yeah. Do you know what's the Prudhomme quote about property? Where he said. Well, he says that you don't have a right to property when you own all the property. You don't have a right. Everyone has a right to home. To a home. You know, you don't have a right to charge rent.
Nobody does have a right to a home.
When you own all the property.
Everybody's a need for one. Our rights are not included in, like, we don't have any rights included in needing a home, dude. Like, none. There's no right that says everybody has a right. Everybody has a right to life, liberty, and property. But that was before they included black women and men and women in general and any of that. When that was written.
Do
when
I have a right to stand in one place?
Rights! They're bestowed by somebody on high. I don't care about rights. Mm-hmm. I care about my justice.
It's not about rights.
I don't give up the Constitution because I wasn't in it.
Do you have the right to play basketball in the room?
Well, I'm out of your meeting. Let me get you guys do your meeting.
Yeah.
So that's
You're
it.
Not going to record
you.
That. Thank you so
no,
much.
You know,
turning away from the pale and downtrodden and the words they say which we won't understand. Don't accept that what's happening is just a case of other suffering. You're joining in the turning away. It's a sin that somehow light is changing to shadow and casting its shroud over all we have now. Unaware how the rags have grown, all alone in the dream of the proud. On the wings of the night, as the daytime is stirring, where the speechless unite in a silent accord. We'll be right back.
defending it, man. And the wild thing about rap is, man, people either love it or hate it with a passion, man. Love it or hate it, man. Even the United States government hates rap. The government hates rap, man. You know why I say that? Because they don't arrest anybody that kills rappers. Oh. They don't got no clues. They don't got no suspects. They don't fill out a police report when it's a dead rapper. They don't even have a chalk line. The cops just take a piss around the body. So if you want to get away with murder, all you got to do is shoot somebody in the head and put a demo tape in their pocket. This is a rap killing. Let's get out of here. The government hates rap. Look at all the rappers, man. Look at all the dead rappers. I miss all these, man. Biggie Smalls, man. Biggie Smalls, man. Biggie Smalls gunned down outside a party in Los Angeles. Now, Biggie weighed about 400 pounds. So they had to shoot him for a while. There was some reloading in that drive-by. It's like the bullet had to hit another bullet that went in before it just to really do damage. They don't got no clues, no suspects, a hamburger wrapper, nothing. Jam Master J, man. Jam, man. I miss J, man. I miss that man. Jam Master J. Gunned down in a recording studio in Queens, okay? They had surveillance footage of people coming in and out. They ain't arrest nobody. It's like the guy came in the studio, shot Jay, recorded an album, then left. They ain't get nobody. No clues, no suspects, not an old Adidas, nothing. Tupac Shakur, man. Tupac Shakur, man. Tupac gunned down on the Las Vegas Strip after a Mike Tyson fight. How many witnesses do you need to see a crime before you arrest somebody? More people saw Tupac get shot than the last episode of Seinfeld. And you know what's fucked up? Every year, Tupac comes back from the dead, records a new album with clues in it. Every record got a clue if you listen real hard. The brother in the red shot me dead right there. Track four, Pac is trying to tell us something. Listen again, it was a nigga named Kevin with a Mac 11 right there. Pac is reaching out to us. Listen. The government hates rap, man. And only rappers get gunned down like this. Only rappers get gunned down, they don't dupe out it. I'll tell you right now, if Billy Joel, Elton John, and David Bowie got shot, they'd have Bruce Springsteen's house surrounded. The government hates rap. And only the good rappers are dead. Only the good ones. Biggie dead. Tupac dead. Vanilla Ice still alive. The government hates rap. You mean to tell me they can find Saddam Hussein in a hole, but you can't tell me who shot Tupac? Shit. They found Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Tupac got shot in Vegas. In Vegas. Not on no side street. The mug shot on the strip in front of Circus. Damn. It's all fucked up. The whole world's fucked up, man. Michael Jackson lost his mind. What the hell is wrong with Michael? Another kid? I thought it was Groundhog's Day when I heard that. Another kid getting up out of here. Yo, that's how much we love Michael. We love Michael so much, we let the first kid slide. It's like, come on, man. The man made Billie Jean. Leave him alone. Another kid. I'm done with Michael. I'm handing him my card. No. I'm taking my glove off. I am done. I love Michael Jackson my whole life. I've been his biggest fan, but I'm done. I'm done. I saw Michael on 60 Minutes. I couldn't take this. Ed Bradley tried his best to make Michael look like a mammal. Somebody that drank water and breathed air, right? He gave Michael the easiest questions in the world, the easiest GED questions in the world, and Michael could not pass the test. It's like, oh, Michael, do you think it's proper for a 45-year-old man to sleep in a bed with 13-year-old boys? Yes. Okay, let me rephrase that. Michael, would you let your children sleep in the bed of a 45-year-old man that's been accused of child molestation? Yes. Ed Bradley looked at Michael Jackson like he wanted to say, "Nigga, is you crazy?" Like he wanted to take the 60 minutes clock and push forward. Say, "Get the fuck out of here. I thought you said it was 60 minutes. It's 10 minutes. Get out of here. You nutty nigga. What the fuck is wrong with you?" I'm done with Michael, man. You see Michael go to court, come to court 20 minutes late. What kind of black man gonna come to court 20 minutes late? This ain't barbershop too. This is court, motherfucker. And he don't even wear a real suit to court, coming in there looking like Captain Crunch. Who's your lawyer, Frankenberry? Better take your black ass to Banana Republic and get you a decent suit. What's wrong with that boy? I'm done with fuck. What the? Another kid? That's like another dead white girl showing up at OJ's house.
Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions.
There's a scourge threatening the airwaves right now. I'm talking about that earworm wrangler and rhyme criminal, Justin Bieber. I don't care if he gets his coke from Columbia, his product from Pennsylvania. He should be arrested just for rhyming holy with hold me. His music is vapid. His lyrics are trite. Now don't kill Justin Bieber. Cutting his hair will only slow him down. If you want to stop Justin Bieber and others like him, go to kepw.org and become a sustaining member. Or just send a couple of dollars. We're all volunteers, so you get more bang for your buck. Go to kepw.org and stop inane music today.